Hi, this is Mike Young with Noble Warriors. You're about to hear a message entitled, Be the Dad, 26 Things Kids Need from a Dad, presented by Jay Payleitner. Jay is with the National Center for Fathering and comes to us today from St. Charles, Illinois. This workshop was part of the Iron Sharpens Iron Men's Conference hosted by Noble Warriors at Spotswood Baptist Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia on Saturday, February 27th, 2016. I pray the message will challenge and encourage you as you walk with Christ and lead your family.
How many of you guys were here this morning? When you came back, two, three, four, six. There's about three or four of the same jokes I'll use, okay? So I apologize for that. It's just one dad talking to another here, okay? So if something I say resonates, give out a shout. Or if I say something stupid, say, Jay, you're a complete moron. Either way, it's fine with me. We okay, Kyle? What do you think? You're yelling at me now? It's fine. It's fine.
All right.
That's fine. Give Kyle a hand here. He's the middle school guy here. Could you imagine that? Spending a third of your life hanging out with middle schoolers. Who here's got middle schoolers? Any middle schoolers go to this church here? Okay. Well, yeah, we can say you could blame Kyle if they're not turning out well. Because it's his job. Of course, it'd be his job and not your job at all. So why should you listen to me? I got five kids, and they're awesome. I've sold like 300,000 books for dads. Thank you for the guys who already picked them up. For the National Center for Fathering, I've co-written 3,000 radio programs, and I helped design their radio broadcast. their little three-minute radio broadcast. With Josh McDowell, you guys know who Josh McDowell is? I produced his radio program for 14 years. And that was when my kids were little. Imagine what I got to sit and they paid me for that, to go listen to Josh McDowell three times a year. I'd go record him three or four times a year for 3 days, and we'd record 20 programs or 18 programs, something like that. I apologize to you guys who were here before. I'm going to show you a little 81-second kind of a promo spot for my book. And you'll see what I'm talking about here. Let's see if this plays here.
A question. What is on your bucket list? Stuff to check off before you cease to exist. Like see the splash of a humpback whale. Hike the Appalachian Trail. Chase a tornado. See an erupting volcano. Stand on the equator. Wrestle an alligator. Dye your hair blonde. Run a marathon. Ride London's tube. Solve a Rubik's cube. Dinner at the Ritz. Give and get the perfect kiss. Visit Stonehenge. Walk across Abbey Road with three friends. Scuba dive the Great Barrier Reef. Maybe just turn over a new leaf. Checking every box guarantees a full life is your destiny. Or you may look back and realize your bucket is empty. Maybe a better question is this. What if God wrote your bucket list?
You guys are really kind of the first to see this because it just got finished last week. And I was laughing because this morning, the preacher this morning talked about bucket lists, and I was going, oh, that's what I'm doing. So anyways, that's my latest book is What If God Wrote Your Bucket List? I think it's, no, that's my kids. So there you go. Thank you for watching that. But it's a good question. How many of you guys have, you guys get the joke? Walk across Abbey Road with three friends. Did you all get that joke? Yeah, anybody? Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Thank you. And anybody here run a marathon? Holy cow. Anybody here wrestle an alligator? For real?
Yeah.
Well, tell us that story.
Crystal River. My buddy lives on Crystal River. They got gators and manatees.
Yeah. Well, come do the next half hour. We want to hear this story. Did you wrestle a manatee? No, wait. That's me. Wow, okay. I had five kids. four boys and a little girl. And suddenly I got four daughter-in-laws. So imagine years back, four boys and a girl, and then suddenly all that testosterone in the house, and suddenly my four boys out of college get married, and they bring home these four beautiful, very strong, intelligent women. I think two of my daughter-in-laws are making more money than their husbands. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's okay. I mean, that's what they do with these days. It's crazy. And a couple takeaways from this photo. First off, Thanksgiving family football is awesome. Do that. Second, own a good camera. I took this with a good autofocus. It was really worth it. I'm going to apologize now for coughing at you. The other lesson here is have more kids. I had five kids, and it's like I wouldn't trade any of them. Some of you guys stopped at two, and if you are still in that age when you can have another one or two. Kyle, have a couple more, because we need, people, well, five kids, that's so many. Well, no, wait a second. My kids are not the problem. My kids are going to be a solution to anything going on. And your kids, here, same thing. You pour into your kids, and they're a solution for the world's problems. Either because they're smart and they care and they pay their bills and they pay their taxes, or because they're followers of Christ and they pour into other people's lives and do things that are worthwhile. So we have more kids. I'm serious. Don't send me their bill for college, but I have more kids. And the second, another thought is, I got these four daughter-in-laws, and it's like, oh my gosh, all these beautiful, wonderful girls. How many of you guys here have either just boys or just girls? Okay, one or two or three, whatever it is. Now you're thinking, oh man, I'd love a little daughter, or I'd love a son. Now, if you keep pouring into your daughters, she's going to come home with some awesome son-in-laws for you. If you keep pouring into your sons, they're going to bring home some awesome young ladies. So no worries. It was a breakthrough idea I had. I mean, I had a daughter, but I suddenly have, and my daughter has these sisters now. It's unbelievable. And the other thing is, what a great age this is. When they were six and eight, those years when you're driving, you're going to crazy concerts and you're going to soccer matches and there are 15, 20 things in your schedule every week for your kids, that kind of thing. I miss those years. I look back and go, those were great years. Even though in the middle of it, it's like, ah. And your wife and you are going back and forth, and you're saying who's covering the 4 o'clock game, that kind of thing. Don't enjoy them while they're there. And you've heard that before; it goes so fast. But you know what? Who cares? That's nothing. That is nothing. This is something. The Paylander name lives on. That's Jackson David Paylander. Applause! Applause! And any grandparents here? Any grandparents here? Grandparents? You know what I'm talking about? There you go. And then it gave me a new perspective on eternity when you have a grandkid. It's really just fascinating. This is a story worth telling. This was my number three son, right? My number three son gave me my first grandchild. My number two son, who had been married 5 years, had been trying for a while. This guy was born after Max was married for 3 years. For 10 months. Okay, so think about that. His little brother, married for 10 months, has a kid. They weren't even trying, but Randy's been trying for about 3 or 4 years now. It wasn't easy. Actually, two brothers who were best friends didn't talk for a few months. Randy, who is the editorial director at Moody Publishing. Moody Publishing, he's the editorial director of all the books. Put in for a little boy, little guy, little kid from China, a child, trying to adopt from China. And, excuse me. He didn't know what he was going to get. He didn't know if it was boy or girl. Judah came home, and they're 4 days apart in age. So they're matching cousins, and now they're two and a half, or coming up on three years now. They are a riot and a blast. So suddenly, my two boys have two boys the same age. Wow. So there's all different ways to do it, guys. And then, of course, Emerson came along. My fourth son gave me little Emerson. There she is, three cousins. And then just a month ago, little Reese was born. So I got four now, two boys and two girls. And I'm ready to meet Jesus. Some of you guys have been saying that for a while. You know what? I'm ready. I can go. And I never got that. So I'm not ready to go meet Jesus. I got things to do and people need me, that kind of thing. But when my sons started to have kids, it's like, oh, that next generation is going to, I see my sons being dads. And that is a beautiful thing. So shoot for that, guys. Keep pouring into your kids, even if you hate them, because they'll give you grandkids you can love. And that's my wife. She's an awesome grandma, and she's hot still, and I love her, that kind of thing. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for my family, and thank you for these families represented here. Thank you for this Iron Sharpens Iron Conference. I have a sense that these guys have already gotten little bits and scraps and truths they can hang on to. If they can get something here today in the next hour or so, Lord, I am privileged to be a part of that. We love you and trust you in the name of your son, Jesus, who went to the cross for each of us and our kids. Dad, you matter. Do you understand this? Do you guys understand this? Because culture says you might not matter. I know your kids say this every day, Dad, you matter, right? Your kids come up to you and say, Dad, you matter. No, they don't. But you do, and they say it in ways that if you look at them, you understand it that you do. Don't believe the sitcoms that paint so many dads out to be buffoons. Don't believe the media. The only time the concept of dads are in the media is when they talk about deadbeat dads or abusive dads kind of thing. Don't believe them. Don't believe the radical feminists who say, sperm in a jar, that's all you need. You don't need men. So don't believe them. You don't believe me. Let's go. And don't believe the government because they incentivize single moms. Don't get me started there. So you understand? You believe me? Let's get a lesson. Let's get a lesson from the source. Let's go to the lesson. A lesson from the source that delivers all truth. What is the movie? Real quick interaction here. What is the movie Top Gun about? Top Gun. You saw that, right? What's it about? Fighter pilots. Bedding down Kelly McGillis, avenging Goose's death, right? Is that what it's about? Shooting down MiGs. What's It's a Wonderful Life about? What's It's a Wonderful Life about? You know the movie. Christmas.
The guy who thinks that he wouldn't matter.
The guy who thinks he wouldn't matter. Angels getting their wings. Christmas. What is Ferris Bueller's Day Off? What's that about? Skipping school. Absolutely. What is Forrest Gump about?
Stupid is, stupid does.
What box of chocolates? What? Lieutenant Dan. Vietnam. Wrong. You guys are all wrong. We're gonna watch 4 minutes of movies here. So sit back and relax, get some popcorn, and we'll look at you. You decide what these four movies are about, and we'll talk about it in a minute. Lights, please. It takes 8 seconds for it to go. 5, 6, 7. 8, 9. What's the last thing that Forrest says to his son?
I love you.
No. Last thing he says, I'll be right here when you get back. Dads, that's your takeaway maybe for today. Your kids need to know that you're the rock, you're the foundation. You want them to go away. You want them to move out before they're 30. You want them to go to college and to go to the military and get out of there. You want them to go off to kindergarten. And you want them to know that what? You're going to be right here. You're the rock, guys. You are the rock they can trust. So there you go. Use that. Hey, son, you know what? Have a great time at prom. I'll be right here when you get back. Have a great time here. Kindergarten's going to be awesome. I will be right here. That makes it easy for them to go challenge themselves to greatness. Oh, Hollywood. What were those four movies about? What are those four movies about? We never see Maverick's dad. What does he say? I flew with your old man. You're not like he was. Maverick is spending the whole movie chasing his father. He's trying to be like his dad. He's trying to figure out whether he wants to be like his dad or not, who his dad was. We do see George Bailey's dad. He's right there. And what's George... Maverick's trying to figure out whether he should be like his dad, George Bailey is trying to be not like his dad. You know what, Dad? You're a great guy. Here's an aside. Lunkhead. About time when you lunkhead. That's a great. Use that word with your kids. Lunkhead. They know that it's sort of a joke, but sort of serious. Okay, you lunkheads. Come on. I can't believe you left your bike outside in the rain. You lunkhead. It's kind of okay. Okay, you can say that. You don't want to rip on your kids. But that's not a bad word. It's okay. When Morris comes home, he and I'll have a little chat. That's Cameron's dad. Ferris Bueller's day off is not about Ferris Bueller. Ferris has days like that all the time. That day, Ferris Bueller's day off, is going to be a turning point in the life of Cameron and his father. Why don't you want to listen to that conversation? Oh, man. But it's going to be good. Cameron said, it's going to be good. Because he knew he had to confront his dad finally. And then, of course, what does Forrest Gump do the whole movie? What's he do? He's running. He's looking for something. He doesn't stop the whole time. Think about everything he does. When does he finally sit down on a stump? When he's a dad sending his kid out into the world. So what business is Hollywood in? What business is any business in? Making money. And why do they write movies about dads? Because dads, you matter. Dads, you matter. Field of Dreams is not about Kevin Costner plowing under a cornfield. It's about him playing catch with his dad. Armageddon is not about Bruce Willis saving the world. It's about Bruce Willis saving Ben Affleck so he can marry Liv Tyler. Why does Buddy the Elf go to Manhattan? To find his dad. Movie's not about Christmas. It's about a father and a son. Star Wars, Batman, Breakfast Club, Back to the Future, all the Disney movies, except for Frozen. What is that movie? That's Frozen. It's a terrible movie. How many guys have seen it 10 times? It's a terrible movie. Am I right? It doesn't hold together. It doesn't make any sense at all. What's that?
It's about daughters.
Well, no, Dad's dead. Mom and Dad are dead. It's about, it's not about anything. What? Ice. It's about ice. Okay. So I say you're important. Your kids say you're important. Hollywood says you're important. Statistics say you're important. We could list the top 10 societal crises of our time. We could break up into groups and decide that. And we would come up with things like drugs and gangs and school shootings and teen pregnancy and AIDS and spiritual confusion and drunk driving and the dropout rate. We could come up with a lot of nasty things. I submit that if dads are getting the job done, if dads are getting the job done, I don't want to say all of it, but a lot of that goes away. It just does. 85% of the youth in prison grew up without a dad. 75% of the kids in drug treatment grew up without a dad. If without a dad, you're 2 times as likely to drop out of school. You're 3 times as likely to commit suicide. And you're 9 times as likely to be homeless or runaway. Dad, statistically, you're important. Who else says you're important? Children are a burden from the Lord. They are. No! Children are a gift from the Lord, you weasels. Come on, you lunkheads. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. What a great image this is. You are a steadfast warrior. You plant your feet firm. You take those arrows out of your quiver. You sharpen them. Sharpen them. You hone them straight and true. You've selected a target. Each of your kids is different. Each kid is different, so you've got to select a target that's right for them, and you pull that bow back. What a great image that is. You're a warrior. Your kids are like warriors, and your arrows in your warrior's hands. And you pull them back, find that target, and then what do? Let them go. That's the toughest one sometimes, maybe let them go. But what, you know, if you're looking for something spiritual to do sometime or with a men's group, well, just look at Psalm 127 sometimes. It's that great verse that starts, if the Lord does not build a house, in vain do the builders labor. It's a great Psalm 127. Write that down. Keep track of that. All right. So we're going to do about, my book is 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad. We're going to do about 26 of them, about half of them, which means you still need to buy the book, okay? So the first thing you got to do really is accept the gift. Children are a gift from the Lord. Except some dads don't do that. You guys did. Give yourself a round of applause for accepting that gift. Nice job, guys. Number two and number three are for new dads. Hold your baby, and dad tucks in. That is, if you got a kid, anybody here got somebody, just one kid under 1 year old? You got one kid under 1 year old? Get out of here. Go home. Spend time with them. You should leave right now. What are you doing at this conference? Your kid needs you. Now, I said that once, and the guy got up and left. It was very... But there's a sense that that's true.
I thought about it.
Yeah, right. But hold your baby. The first year, and you guys know this, the first year, children are learning two things, the two most important things a kid can learn. How to love and how to be loved. And that's what holding the baby does. You can't spoil a kid under, it's impossible to spoil a kid under a year. Just keep holding them, okay, guys? Hold them, lots of skin-to-skin contact. I went to a Russian orphanage with Josh McDowell. I produced his radio program for years. And we went to a Russian orphanage, and this gymnasium filled with bassinets and cribs. And these kids aren't getting the touch they need. So you know that they're going to come away with a failure to thrive. That's a medical phenomenon. But if failure to thrive, if lack of physical contact leads to failure to thrive, what does lots of physical contact lead to? Thriving. I mean, it's love, and they understand that, and they can give, and they can, and it makes them free to leave the nest before they're 30, like I said. And by the way, skin to skin, holy baby, it's not just mom. It's dads, too. Going back to dad tucks in. Boy, you know what? Even guys, does a 14-year-old want you to walk into their bedroom? Kind of not. But does a 4-year-old want you to come in and read them a bedtime story?
Yes.
And a 5-year-old?
Yes.
And a 6-year-old?
Yes.
If you see what I'm going here? If you do it when they're 6, you can do it when they're 6 and a half, and then do it when they're 8. If you keep walking in, they'll always look for you there. And you know what? Dad tucks in. What are you doing? You're praying? You're talking about the day? You're talking about your day. I had a tough day. When they get older, the topics you talk about will change. But, you know, let mom stay downstairs or stay down the hallway. Dad, 2 minutes. It might be just 2 minutes. It might be an hour and a half because you get in the conversation with your 17-year-old. That's cool, too. That's awesome. That's fantastic. You know what? You think about a little sixth grader coming home from school and she got her feelings hurt. You walk in there, and if you've been walking in there, you can walk in there and say, "Hey, sweetheart, we didn't get a chance to talk tonight, but just how you doing?" And then she, because the lights are down and she's used to you coming in, she's going to tell you about something that hurt her today. And you can help. Nobody else in the whole world can help like you can. And the crud of the day melts away. And God jumps in. And you can help start the next day. Awesome. Hold your baby, dad tucks in. All right. A friend of mine and I were reminiscing about growing up, and he shared his single most vivid memory of his dad. It was years ago. His dad was a busy, important guy, and he was always going someplace, three-piece suit, wingtips. But for some reason, my friend was with him in the car. It was dusk. They were going down a country road kind of a thing. And dad suddenly kind of pulls off the road. And my friend was kind of freaked. What's going on? Without a word, the dad jumps out of the car, goes to the trunk, pulls a glass jar out of the trunk, comes around, taps on the window, and motions the kid out into the field to catch fireflies, lightning bugs. Now, what is it, and my friend doesn't know, really what triggered that dad to do the things of which memories are made? What was that? Now, it could be that he was driving along and kind of saw the flashing bugs and thought about it. Maybe, I'd like to think that maybe he was going out to the recyclables one day and saw a clean jar and said, I'm going to put this in the trunk just in case for something later on. You run out into the field, what do? You grab them, you pop coals in the top, and you throw grass in the jar. What is that? Why do you throw grass in the jar for them? I don't know why that is. But how long were they in that field? 8 minutes, right? It really doesn't take much. But that kid remembers that. It's not a Disney vacation, not a ski trip to Aspen. Didn't cost the dad anything, no cash at all. But that was the thing that he remembers about his dad. So, you know what? Put the glass jar in the trunk. Literally or metaphorically, guys, think ahead of time about how ways you can connect with your kids. By the way, I wrote this, a chapter on this with this title, and I sent it to my publisher, and my editor, who lives in Eugene, Oregon, said, you know, Jay, there's no lightning bugs west of the Rockies. Did you know that? That's unbelievable to me. There are no lightning bugs on the West Coast. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? It's just an aside. It's a bonus thought for you. Take your kids out, catch some lightning bugs. They're lightning bugs. Although there's fewer now than there were years ago, it seems like to me. But when you catch lightning bugs, say, you know what? For the most part, west of the Rockies, and they'll go, what? Or maybe they won't, I don't know. Well, that's how we got a lot of problems. You know, that's how the Great Lakes are filled with weird things from weird fish from China. Boats came out and empty their. Well, never mind. I'm sorry. I know just enough to be dangerous. What's going on? There we are. There's a unicycle hanging in my garage. I know that because I hit my head on it a couple times a year. And it's never been ridden. I bought it, oh my golly, I guess, is it 23 years ago? For my son who's 33 now, I bought it for him when he was 10 years old on his birthday. And he tried it out. And I have 5 athletic kids, and any of them could have had the mental gyroscope to make that work. They all kind of tried it. Randy did 10 minutes here, half an hour there, 10 minutes there, and never really got it going. Should I feel guilty about that? No. Our job as a dad is to open doors for our kids. Let them try things. Let them try, not just athletic things, but just anything you think, a little try things. Safe things, not creepy things. Because that's our job, is to open doors for our kids and not beat them up. Give them an opportunity to try new things. Here's a thought. You could put a grand piano in your house and thinking, well, my daughter's going to be the next, you know, Beethoven or Michael W. Smith or Billy Joel or something like that. Or you could put an art easel. You could put an art easel because you want your kid to be the next artist, Picasso, Cezanne, something like that. Or you could put a wrestling mat in your basement because you could, my son's going to be a state champ. You know, we could do those things. I did all those things. But you know what could happen is maybe your son, your daughter or son doesn't become a great pianist. Is that right word? The right word, pianist? maybe a kid down the street comes and noodles on the piano, and then your daughter becomes a jazz vocalist, you know, because of that. Or maybe the art easel, they don't use it for art or oil painting, but they They start playing game shows on it. Start doing party games, and your son becomes a game show host or a motivational speaker because he practices in that. Or maybe your son doesn't become a state champion wrestler, but your daughter becomes a world-class gymnast because she starts goofing on it. So open doors for your buy a unicycle, open doors for your kids. You really never know how that's gonna end up. And you know, the worst thing that happens is your kid goes off and joins the circus. And that'd be kind of fun too, wouldn't it? That'd be kind of fun for a while. I don't know. Knock, knock. Knock, knock. Isabel? Isabel working? I had to knock. Knock, knock. Hatch. Hatchu. Gazoonite. Gazoonite is the answer. Knock, knock. Sam and Janet. Sam and Janet evening. You may find a stranger. That's from South Pacific. Nobody knows that one. No, Sam and Janet. Sam and Janet evening. Knock, knock. Little old lady. Oh, I didn't know you could yodel. Knock, knock. Banana. Knock, knock. Banana. Knock, knock. Orange. Orange, you glad I didn't say banana again? You know, guys, I know that one, right? Right. Knock, knock. Here's the best one. Best knock, knock joke in the world. Ready? Knock, knock. Interrupting cow. Moo!
Watching cartoons.
No, yeah. No, this is 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's from what?
It's on a new animated movie.
That just ticks me off. That's my best joke. I did this for a while, and a guy came up to me and gave me an even better joke. Even better than the interrupting cow joke. Knock, knock. Control freak. Now you say control freak who? Okay, what's the point of this? What's the point of this? If you got a 12-year-old, go home and do a knock-knock joke with him. You know what? It's just a way to connect. You'd be, you know, not quite so serious, guys. Yeah, you guys need to have fun with your kids because, I mean, there's so much more joy there than there is crud. Sometimes we focus on the crud. Look for the joy, guys. Speaking of crud. Okay. But if you got a 7-year-old, what's wrong with you? How many times have I told you? Two hands. Why do we do that? Do they already feel bad about it?
Yes.
So why are we piling on? Accidents happen. Crud happens. They already feel bad. Here's the principle here. If there's a problem, something bad happens, Dad is going to make it better. The problem is still there. There's still consequences. But Dad is the guy who's going to, you go to Dad, you make it better. Because there's a broken window. Go to Dad, and Dad will take you to the hardware store, may fix it. You might even have to pay for it out of your whatever allowance or whatever. Mom's vase is broken. Go with them and tell Mom, okay, with them. That's going to help them out a lot, give them courage to speak the truth and be a little confessional. I love you. This has to be their attitude. I love you. It'll be okay. This has to be your attitude. I love you. It'll be okay. We'll get through this together. I love you. When something bad happens, I love you. True, right? It'll be okay. Ultimately, it will be. We promise that. That's going to be okay. And we'll get through this together. I love you. We're going to do that together. Ready? I love you. It'll be okay. We'll get through this together. Ring, 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 ring. Hey, Dad, I wrecked the car. I love you. It'll be okay. We'll get through this together. Dad, I'm dropping out of school. I love you. It'll be okay. Now, wait. In the moment, you want them to come to you. Because it will be okay, and you'll get through it together. Later on, talk about options. But better to say, wow, that's a big decision. Let's talk, or what's your plan kind of thing. Ask more questions rather than ask open-ended questions rather than the quick judgment kind of thing, because we're going to laugh about spilt milk. Dad, I'm in jail. I love you. It'll be okay. We'll get through. Now, if they're in a local small town, you might want to leave them there overnight. If they're in D.C., get them out real quick. Okay? Go jump and rescue them. Dad, I'm pregnant. Dad, my girlfriend's pregnant. You want them coming to you, Dad, because the world will give them real bad advice. That's on you. When they are five, they will fit into your schedule. When they are 14 or 23, you need to fit into their schedule. That's pretty easy. Fit into their schedule, guys. Make time for them. The corollary to that is talk after midnight. How many of you older dads have had really good conversations with your 20-year-old son or daughter, 18, 19, 20, 21, after midnight? Had a good conversation after midnight. You know what I'm talking about? It's really a great thing. It's kind of the extension of that tucking in thing. The crud of the day melts away. It may or may not be over a beer. I don't know. That's your call. But sorry for that. I hope that's okay. But here, this is also a line you can use with your kids. Remember, what was the other one? You lunkhead. What was it? I'll be right here when you get back. Here's another great line. Nothing good happens after midnight. Hey, guys, you know, get home early tonight. Nothing good happens after midnight. You can say that to your 17-year-old. Nothing good happens after midnight. And they may argue with you, but you've made your point. You're not attacking them. Nothing good happens after midnight, except for good conversations at home with Dad. Okay? Don't be the curfew Nazi, by the way. If they come home, if the curfew's 11 o'clock and they come home strolling at 11:07, you're glad they're home. You're glad they're home. You can do this if you want, but don't be jumping down their throat, okay? It's just ridiculous, and that's what cell phones are for anyways. At the end of every interaction, you want to be pulling them towards you, not pushing them away. At the end of every interaction, you want them to go, I'm glad I talked with Dad. Now, if they're having a tough time and they start storming off, slamming the door, I hate you, you still need to go up, I believe, and knock on their door. They won't say anything and say, listen, sweetheart, listen, buddy, I'm sorry, we shouldn't leave it like this, but I want you to know I love you, and I would die for you, just so you know that, through the door, and then walk away. But every interaction needs to end positive. You don't have to apologize. You say you were wrong, but I hate it when we get this way. I want you to know I love you. Can you do that? I don't know. Here we go. Why do we do this? Don't rip their friends. You know what it does. All the after-school specials say if you rip their friends, it drives them away, drives your kids away, you know. Okay, what if their friends are really bad news? What if their friends are just really bad news? Well, first off, your kids know it already. They already know that their kids are friends are bad news. And here's what you do. Hey, buddy. Hey, sweetheart. Can we chat about Horatio for a moment? And what does your teenager say? Oh, fine. You don't want me hanging out? Oh, you don't like Horatio? I can't be with Horatio. No, sure. And you go, yeah. No. You misunderstand. Absolutely, you can hang out with Horatio. I hope that you are a good influence on Horatio. But I've noticed some things about him. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. He smokes, doesn't he? Well, and they have to say, yeah, because he does. And you know, you're in a conversation now. Well, and he, you know, he doesn't really make school a priority, does he? Well, yeah, so I guess not. You know, well, and, you know, he's got kind of a potty mouth on him. Is that right? You know, he curses. Well, yeah, okay, okay. Okay, so now you got him. You can hang out with Horatio. But if, you know what, if your grades start to slip or I see that you're not prioritizing school like you need to be in your other things, or if you're starting to smoke or if you're losing some respect, if your language gets a little coarse or you're not respecting me, then you can't hang out with Horatio. Is that a deal? And they have to say, because you've had the conversation now, you're in the yeah, I guess so. I've been challenged on this too, and it might not work. And sometimes you just have to literally rescue your kids. You have to rescue them and say, no, this guy is so nasty. This girl is such a bad influence. And that's why you have to have spies around your neighborhood, by the way. That kind of thing. And you know what? You want Horatio at your house. You want Horatio at your house. And here's how to get him there. Stockpile junk food. You need your home to be a comfortable place for your teenage sons and daughters to bring their friends. Put a ping pong table in the rumpus room in the basement. Soda in the fridge. Get Guitar Hero or Rock, whatever it is. What are they using? What are the kids playing now? You know what I'm talking about, those games. There's a dad I know who buys ice cream. He's got a freezer in his garage, and he buys 5-gallon things of ice cream, like 6 of them at a time. And you think all summer long the kids come to their house. Let's go to Tony's house for ice cream. You know, that's the smart. We have a fire pit in our yard. Who's got a fire pit in their yard? Fire pits? Okay. Is there a cabinet with graham crackers and marshmallows and Hershey bars? Absolutely, right there. So they always know after a football game, some evening when kids don't know what to do, your son or daughter can always say, yeah, let's go to my house and have some s'mores. Okay? Don't rip their friends. But absolutely do spy on your kids. You need to know stuff about them they don't know you know. You need to know stuff about them that they don't know you know. And their dreams, and their fears, and their friends, and their friends that weren't friends anymore, and their enemies. You need to know the names of a couple adults that they trust. Because you might need to interact with those adults sometimes. Say, hey, my son or daughter's doing this. And it could be a youth pastor, or it could be a friend's parent. You need to know other adults that they trust. Could be a grandparent. That's an interesting connection there, too. You need to know what they care about and what frightens them, what worries them. This comes in handy for career guidance and for discipline and for birthday presents. And vacation planning. Let's say you're taking a trip through Ohio. You're going west for some reason. Normally I say east because I'm speaking in the Midwest, but let's say you're going through Ohio and you have a day to kill on your vacation, the family trip. Should you stop at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or at the Football Hall of Fame? Choose that in your head right now. Now, you want to go, which do you want to go? You want to go to the one that you want to go to or the one your kids want to go to? And maybe you have a good time going to... What football team would you guys go to here? What's your football team?
Redskins.
Oh, for sure, Redskins. Pats. So maybe you have a good time with your kids watching those games. But you know what? Maybe they are the Rock and Roll fans more. So know what they like. Spy on your kids so you know what they like. Incidentally, in Vandalia, Ohio, is the Trap Shooting Hall of Fame. And in Columbus, Ohio, is the Accounting Hall of Fame. So choose wisely. The book has, in one of the chapters, Spying Your Kids, has 5 principles. Here's 2 of my favorites. Is driving a carpool a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. What you do is you fill it up wherever you're going, church or events or school thing or sporting event. Fill it up. Fill your SUV, your minivan, or whatever you're driving these days with kids. And then turn the radio on so they think you're listening to the radio. And then just listen. Because you will hear what teachers are creepy, who's making out with who, where the party is Friday night. Okay? So drive carpools. And the other is, on the occasion when you are, it doesn't happen very often, but when you're alone in your house, I mean, you got a house full of people and kids and all kinds of people coming around. But if you know that you're going to be alone in your house for whatever reason, because the rest of the family is at an event, go ahead and go into your teenager's room and just do a 360. You know what? Just look. Look what's on the walls. Look what they've chosen to read, what the reading is. Don't go through their stuff. I mean, you can pick up a little corner or something and look. But for the most part, just see the world they've created for themselves. You can learn so much from that. Don't get caught in there. But you can learn so much from that. If you see some boy band poster and with a ripped shirt and abs exposed, don't be panicking about that. Just remember it. If you see some CDs with advisory lyrics, now kids don't have CDs anymore. My oldest son had 3,000 CDs, and my next son, who was 3 years younger, had no CDs. Just as many songs on his iPod. So I don't know, do kids have CDs at all anymore? Anyway, if you see stuff with advisory lyrics, or you see some books on vampire, you know, some of these vampire novels, please don't panic. Just know that that's important to them. That's what they're doing, okay? Now, having said all that, leave without a trace. Leave without a trace, and don't tell anybody. That's just for you. Now, if what you find or other circumstances, you suspect that they are doing something that is going to literally endanger their lives. What's the teenage drug of choice around here? Marijuana? Are they doing cocaine?
Meth?
Heroin? Heroin. I think it's cocaine still in the western suburbs of Chicago. You need to know this. You guys need to know this. Okay. Your kids trust you not to go through their stuff. Your kids trust you to respect them. But if they're doing something that's going to physically hurt them, they also trust you to rescue them. That's your job. So if you have to, if you're 99.9% sure that they're doing something, you go into their rooms and rip the snot out of it. Every drawer, everything you can find, so you can say, listen, I love you so much that I'm willing to sacrifice temporarily my relationship with you because this can't go on. You have a responsibility to do that. Now, I hope it never comes to that. I pray that never comes to that. But I'm willing to sacrifice. I love you so much. I know you hate me for this, but I love you so much that I need to do this because I'm scared to death for you, your mother and I. Talk to your wife first before you do that. Okay? La, la, la. We are going to make a big decision here. We can decide about the word crap. I asked, I didn't know whether that was appropriate to use in my house. So I asked 20 dads, people who are at the same spiritual level as me, just guys trying to get through life, kind of like all of us here, kind of church-going guys who are, you know, making mistakes and loving our kids kind of thing. I emailed 20 good friends and said, tell me if this word is you can use this in your house. Some of them said, are you kidding me, Jay? In my house, the F-bomb is dropped 10 times a week. And this is a guy who is my peer. And then there's another guy at the same level, just in my mind the same, is like, Jay, are you kidding me? We don't allow the word geez or gosh in the house because it's too close to cursing. And again, these are all on the same level as me. So anyways, the lesson is you got to decide. The word crap, I didn't really allow it in my house when the kids were little, but my middle school son, who I totally respect, came home and said, oh, Dad, by the way, we can say crap in the house now. It's really okay. And I said, okay, because he was a great kid, making good decisions. Or maybe it's eighth grade, maybe. It's like, what do you say to that? Because he had thought about it. Because maybe I had fussed about it a while back. It's like, now, the point is we need to elevate our language. As dads, we need to elevate our language. And it's the old, you know, if they hear you saying this, you really can't. If they hear you saying something, you can't trash them for that, can you? You can apologize, say, man, I blew it. I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't. But I hope you would. That kind of thing. Draw the line and rescue them at the top of the slippery slope. And by the way, it's not just the words you got to decide on. You got to decide on swimsuit issues. You got to decide on the length of shirts that your daughter wear. You got to decide about smoking, and you got to decide about movies. Oh, that's right, movies and R-rated, that kind of thing, those kind of things, and what you can allow on your television set. Rescue them at the top of the slippery slope. It's a lot easier than if they're halfway down and it gets going faster and faster and faster. Any of you guys wrestle back in high school? You guys wrestle? 1, 2, 3. I brought this all the way from Chicago. Pretty nice, huh? Pretty nice. JV tournament. Oswego High School JV tournament. 1973. First place. Applause, applause. Really? Really? You're applauding a first place JV tournament trophy? 132 pounds? 132 pounds? I put on 6 or 8 pounds since then, maybe. but it was a JV tournament. If you guys know high school sports, JV is when you're a junior, being on the JV team is not real impressive, okay? I mean, it's better than being cut, but there's no cuts in wrestling anyways, you know that. So I come home, and my folks went to almost all my wrestling matches, but it was a Saturday. It was all-day event down the river, so they didn't come before cell phones. So I came home, JV tournament. I'm a junior, okay? I came home and said, Dad, I first place today. What did he say? What did he say? That's nice. What did he say? Come on. Congratulations. Good job. He said, well, maybe next year you can get a varsity trophy. Oh, snap. But that's the exact right thing to say. That's the exact right thing to say in a couple months. How's the varsity? You know, after the season's over, maybe you're in the summer. Hey, how's the varsity wrestling? How's the wrestling looking? Is there going to be a spot for you on that varsity team? Kind of something you build as each in the conversation. Or maybe you pick up some extra weights or some extra things. My dad actually bought me things to help me with my grip. A wrestling DVD, something. Hey, I'm just rooting for you this year, kind of a thing. But in the moment, I came home. I could not have done any better. I got first place in the trophy. I got the trophy, first place. I could not have done any better. He should have said, oh, fantastic. I'm sorry I missed it. Tell me, then they open up. Tell me about the last match. And I'm thinking about this later, so it's pretty easy for me to come up with that. But, I'm sorry I missed it. Tell me about the last match. That's awesome. Because he knew what a wrestling match was. It would have been a good thing to say. So tell me about this. Tell me, wow, that's great. And here's the point. Got to match your kids' emotions. I was on a high, had a good day. Match his emotions. Match your kids' emotions. Your daughter loses the election at school. You know what? That's a waste of time anyways, you know. No. Man, I hurt for you, sweetheart. I know how much you wanted that. Or your son doesn't make show choir. Your high school son doesn't make show choir. You don't need that sissy stuff anyways. No, he tried out for it because he wanted to be in there. So, man, I'm sorry, buddy. Match his emotions. Your daughter gets an acceptance letter from a college. Good news, right? Well, I accept it's kind of a little school. It's not a great school, and you wanted to go to George Washington, you wanted her to go to your alma mater, perhaps. So, hey, Dad, look, I got into this school. Oh, I thought you were looking forward to getting into. How's the application for this one? Have you heard from this? No. Celebrate. That's awesome. Somebody said they want your daughter. Match your emotions. Laugh with her. If they're laughing, you laugh with them. If they're celebrating, you celebrate with them. If they're crying, you cry with them. If they're disappointed, you be disappointed with them. For now. Later on, you can do something different. I cannot take credit for this. It's Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. All the great truths are in Scripture, guys. Sometimes I get a laugh when I put that up there. Ignore the stickball dents in your garage door. After 5 years of scraping and painting my garage door, I replaced the garage door, $1,200. So I pull up. 5 days later, I pull up, and my son, Isaac, and his two college buddies are playing stickball on my driveway. And I knew they played stickball. That's why I got the industrial gauge garage door that would withstand the stickball hints. And my eyes went too, though. It wasn't a stickball dent. It was gashes from the broom handle in the back. Three of them right there, eye level, in my $1,200 garage door. Did I mention it was $1,200? I pulled up, saw it right away. Did I rage? Did I rage? I'm going to claim victory for all dads here. I did not rage. Applause, applause. Applause, applause. Because my mind instantly calculated the what was really going on there. There were no cops in the driveway. There were no beer cans on the lawn. They were not playing some creepy dark video game in the basement. They were playing the time-honored game of stickball in my driveway. What a privilege that is. Broom handle, $4. Wiffle ball, $3. Garage door, $1,200. Driveway stickball, priceless. Harmon Killebrew, the great power hitter from the Twins from years ago, tells a story of being out goofing around in the front lawn with his dad and his brothers, and mom opened up the screen door and says, "Hey, you guys are tearing up the grass." And Harmon's dad said, "Sweetheart, we're not raising grass, we're raising boys. There's plenty of time to resod and rescreen and recarpet, so relax, guys." And having kids all out of the house now, I miss those days. Now, what time we got here? I got to be done by 3:15, I think, right? What time is it?
3:00.
Let's see what we got here. La, 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 la. Okay. I may skip one or two here. Expose them to the dark side. My wife, Rita, likes to hold babies. And that's good because babies like to be held. We've already talked about that. We've had 10 foster babies in our house, newborns. And in Illinois, a newborn gets put into the foster care system is because they were cocaine exposed. And so they do the test, and they take them into the system right away. Cocaine babies go through withdrawal shakes, little tremors, DTs. And so my wife learned and taught all of us, including my kids, how to hold a baby through that. Just nestle them, snuggle them tight. And my son Max, football MVP, all-state wrestling, and the catcher for the fourth place in the state baseball team. Athlete. I don't know where he got it. Didn't get it from me. He was holding a little girl, one of our foster daughters, and she started doing that. And held her, gently gave the little baby back to my wife when it was done, and then stormed around the house, slamming cabinets, saying, "How could a mother do this to her child?" We need to expose our kids to the dark side. There's crud in this world, and we need to let our kids know that there's crud in this world. You got to figure out a way to do that and protect them through it. Do you think Max did cocaine a year later? No stinking way, because he understood what that does. So expose your kids to the crud of the world, okay? And protect them and let them know that. They need to know that. And by the way, Max has got two of my grandkids now. And love is a powerful force. You can love cocaine out of a baby. Fetal alcohol syndrome, maybe not. That stays with kids forever. But cocaine, you can actually love a baby through that. Those 10 foster kids, the ones we've kept track of, are doing very well. Another story. Don't be the fashion police. A friend of mine had a beautiful 11-year-old daughter, and he poured into her life for 11 years, and when talking about modesty and sexual purity and inner beauty, those kind of things, it was great. He's a great father. But he never talked to her about the length of blue jean shorts. So, 11 years old, she comes bouncing down the staircase out to meet the bus that's stopped in front of their house, and he sees her, and he says to her, "Sweetheart, I can't let you go to school like that. Your shorts are too short." What did she do? 11-year-old girl, great kid. What did she do? She cried? What? Cried. What did she do? She got on the bus because she's a good kid. She's not doing anything wrong in her mind. Bus is waiting. She's not going to start an argument with her dad right there. She jumped on the bus. She thought about it all day. He thought about it all day. He thought that he had failed as a father. He thought that he had failed all the boys in that school because they would be lusting after his daughter all day. He thought he had failed God. They did not surprisingly, they did not talk that night. They didn't talk for a couple days. They both tried to figure it out. And then it was, how you doing, sweetheart? Pass the salt, you know, you got to kind of get back into it. They eased back into it, into conversation, great relationship. She never wore those shorts again. You get it? He could have grabbed her and said, "Get your ass upstairs." Or something else. But instead, he loved her. He had the courage and had the commitment and had spent the time to pour into her so that he could say what the truth he needed to say. "I can't let you go to school like that." But because he had built a relationship with her, she never wore those shorts again. And he happened to be in her bedroom a week or two later, and on her full-length mirror, she had a little yellow sticky note that she had written. She had written on it, "Does what you see honor God?" Now, he had risked it all saying that those shorts are too short. He had earned the right. He had earned the right to say what needed to be said. He had earned the right to say what needed to be said. Don't expect to enforce rules, but you can't expect to enforce rules because, as Josh McDowell says, rules without rebellion, rules without relationship lead to rebellion. Think about that for a second. Rules, if you don't have a relationship with your kid, they're just going to rebel. But if you have a relationship with your kid, then they'll think it through. They'll work. They'll process it. They'll won't wear the blue jean shorts again. "I love you. It'll be okay. We'll get through this together." Let's do that again real quick. "I love you. It'll be okay. We'll get through this together." Kiss your wife in the kitchen. It tells your wife you love her. It tells your kids they love their mom. You love their mom. It demonstrates passion within the lifelong commitment of a marriage relationship. Kids don't see married people making out. Yeah, they do. They do see married people, not married to each other. Right. We need to see marriage as a gift. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. May you always be captivated by her love. Anybody here know what's in the dot, dot, dot? The dot, 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 the ellipsis, who knows that? May her breasts satisfy you always. May her breasts, so rejoice in the wife. You know, work on your marriage, guys. If you want to be a good dad, work on your marriage. Easy enough or hard enough. Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. That might be my life verse. Okay. We're going to, what time is it? 308. Okay. Make your kids up for a lunar eclipse. Make stilts. Who's got a 3-year-old here? A 3 or 4-year-old? 3 or 4-year-old? Teach them rock, paper, scissors. Man, it's a blast to teach your 3-year-old because it's just a little bit beyond them, but they can figure it out. It really is. It's amazing. Here's a clue for you. Listen. Between the ages of 4 and 9, absolutely, I guarantee it, their first throw will always be scissors. Okay? So if you're a son, take the garbage out. Well, I'll play, I'll do rock, paper, scissors with you. Or if your son, if your 8-year-old needs to be put in his place, boom, 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 hit them with rock and say, see, I got you, you lunkhead. But if your little, 5-6-year-old daughter needs some encouragement, let's play rock, scissors, paper, and do this, and she wins. Oh, you got me, you rascal. All right. I'd choose you, right? Got that? You like that? You guys got that? You understand what I'm saying there? I'd choose you. That is a good story. I love coaching baseball to 8, 9, 10-year-olds because you still know more than they do. Baseball, you still know more than they do. There was one year I had a little guy on the team, not awesome, but pretty good. His dad could never come to the games because we played during the week and his dad traveled for work. I understand that. That happens sometimes. We had a rainout to be made up on Saturday. Coach Payleitner, my dad can come. Coach Payleitner, my dad can come to the game. Awesome. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to start the guy at short. Start him at shortstop. Bat him second in the lineup. Let him show off for his dad a little bit. I was looking forward to that morning. Saturday morning, the little guy comes hanging his head. My dad couldn't come. My dad couldn't come. He had to play golf. I was angry. The kid was used to it. The dad didn't know what he was missing, right? The dad had no idea. So for a season of life, let your kids be your hobby. Some of you need to quit golf. For a season of life, let your kids be your hobby. If your 4-year-old son is into dinosaurs, you be into dinosaurs. If your 8-year-old daughter's into American Girl, get out your credit card and you be into American Girl. If your 15-year-old's into skateboarding, drive them to the skateboard parks. Take them there. Show them off. Get them some the coolest pads, that kind of thing. Now, if you play golf and if you can play 18 holes with your 12-year-old son, this May, I'm jealous. Do that. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? But some of you guys literally need to quit golf. Make your kids your hobby. Because, as Frederick Douglass said, it's easier to build strong children and to repair broken men. What time is it? Are we late? 12 after. Here we go, last one. This is really hard. And I have no right even to put this up here. Some of you guys have a nasty, terrible relationship with your father, or he's passed on, he was the biggest jerk in the world, abusive, alcoholic, that kind of thing, so I apologize for this. But somehow, you've got a responsibility to the next generation to break that chain. And that best way to get right with your father might be to be the best father you can be. Maybe this Father's Day, some of you, though, need to call him up. Maybe. I can't even begin to imagine that. My dad passed away 5 years ago. I miss him desperately. Great relationship. But some of you guys need to say, Dad, this is your son. I want you to know that I'm doing great. And your grandkids are doing great. And again, whatever happened to us years ago, I don't expect an apology from you, or you shouldn't expect an apology from me. Maybe you don't say that, you just think that. But I just want you to let you know that that fatherhood is meaningful to me, and I want to let you know if it makes sense, maybe we should get back together. Maybe not. Don't have zero expectations. But maybe 1 to 2, you need to do something in that regard. It'll be a gift to your kids, be a gift to you. Send me an email if that works out. If something happens there, let me know. Kneel or stand by your kids' bed as they sleep, praying them over them, protecting them, appreciating them. If they're babies, be real quiet. Your wife will kill you if you wake them up. If they're school age, go in and touch their little warm red cheek. You know what I'm talking about? The little warm red cheek that a third grader has. It's a great, beautiful thing. If they're teenagers, go into their room and make just enough noise that they wake up. Well, Dad, what are you doing? I'm just praying for you, sweetheart. I'm just praying for you, buddy. And if they're gone to college or the military or out, you know what? You can still go into that room and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Each one of these guys, please bless, in the next week, give them an opportunity to connect with their kids. Each one of their kids, one at a time, face to face, shoulder to shoulder. Give them that chance, Lord, this week to connect with their kids. Help them be intentional about it. And maybe some kind of serendipitous event as well. That you just kind of help these dads cross paths, enter the world of their children, or have those kids enter their world. This week, give them a little bit of encouragement, and because they sacrificed this hour and a half to be here in this room today, just give them a little reward. Heavenly Father, we just beg you for that. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who went to the cross. Thanks, guys. I'm running out of books, so I got about 12 of these books left. If you want one, if I don't have one, you can give me $10 now and I'll send you one, okay? But we'll leave it at that. I appreciate you guys.
I trust this message has provided practical encouragement to you in your journey with Christ. Please visit noblewarriors.org to learn how Noble Warriors serves churches as they equip men to walk with Christ and lead well. God bless you, friend.